Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Irvara Dhari Janna Vallabha Irvara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana 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 Ramuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Irvara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Irvara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Sisi Radha Madhava Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम ज्ञान तमरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितांगेना तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. It's so nice to be back here to the community after, I think it's 4 years. And things have changed. Some of us are older now. I'm noticing. I know the extra etchings and the hair color change from... Okay, thank you. So this is an auspicious time for us because we're recognizing some devotees here who are wanting to take steps further to advance in their Krishna consciousness. So we're very happy for them. Are we not?
Yeah. All right.
So most notably Kunti, who I've known for a while, and she's taking her second. And Janak Prabhu, he's also going for a second, thank you. And Charles for his first. Well, thank you. Okay. I think we'll just, I like to always start with the verse from Bhagavad Gita, because that Prabhupada connection is so important to us. So I thought, let's just go, because I was totally confused. What verse should I speak from? So let's just take the last one. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Yatra Parato Dandur Taraha. Tatra Shriir Vijayo Bhutir. Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. It's okay. It's all right. All right. And the translation of that is wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is
Arjuna,
the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence,
victory,
extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. That is Sanjay's opinion. Let's read the purport. The Bhagavad Gita began with an inquiry of Dhritarashtra. He was hopeful of the victory of his sons, assisted by great warriors like Bhishma, Drona, and Karna. He was hopeful that the victory would be on his side. But after describing the scene on the battlefield, Sanjay told the king, "You are thinking of victory, but in my opinion, is that where Krishna and Arjuna are present, there will be all good fortune." He directly confirmed that Dhritarashtra could not expect victory for his side. Victory was certain for the side of Arjuna because Krishna was there. Krishna's acceptance of the post of charioteer for Arjuna was an exhibition of another opulence. Krishna is full of all opulences, and renunciation is one of them. There are many instances of such renunciation, for Krishna is also the master of renunciation. The fight was actually between Duryodhan and Yudhishthira. Arjuna was fighting on behalf of his elder brother Yudhishthira. Because Krishna and Arjuna were on the side of Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira's victory was certain. The battle was to decide who would rule the world, and Sanjay predicted that the power would be transferred to Yudhishthira. It is also predicted here that Yudhishthira, after gaining victory in this battle, would flourish more and more, because not only was he righteous and pious, but he was also a strict moralist. He never spoke a lie during his Life. Okay. There are many less intelligent persons who take the Bhagavad Gita to be a discussion of topics between two friends on a battlefield. But such a book cannot be scripture. Some may protest that Krishna incited Arjuna to fight, which is immoral. But the reality of the situation is clearly stated. Bhagavad Gita is the supreme instruction in morality. The supreme instruction of morality is stated in the 9th chapter, in the 34th verse, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. That's it. Prabhupada didn't say any more. Okay. One must become a devotee of, and the essence of all religion is to surrender unto. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. That's it. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita constitute the supreme process of religion and of morality. All other processes may be purifying and may lead to this process. But the last instruction of the Gita is the last word in all morality and religion. Surrender unto Krishna. This is the verdict of the 18th chapter. I'm halfway. We're good. From Bhagavad Gita, we can understand, hard to do on this thing, that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and by meditation is one process, but to fully surrender unto is the highest perfection. This is the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. The path of regulative principles according to the orders of social life and according to the different courses of religion may be a confidential path of knowledge. But although the rituals of religion are confidential, meditation and cultivation of knowledge are still more confidential. Yeah. And surrender unto Krishna in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is the most confidential instruction. That is the essence of the 18th chapter. Another feature of Bhagavad Gita is that the actual truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The absolute truth is realized in three features. We hear about that right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita introduction. Prabhupada brings it up. Impersonal Brahman, the next one is localized, we missed a word, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, Krishna. Perfect knowledge of the absolute truth means perfect knowledge of Krishna. If one understands Krishna, then all the departments of knowledge are part and parcel of that understanding. Krishna is transcendental, for he is always situated in his eternal, internal potency. The living entities are manifested of his energy and are divided into two classes, eternally conditioned and eternally liberated. Such living entities are innumerable, and they are considered fundamental parts of Krishna. Material energy is, I don't know what you said there, but energy is manifested into 24 divisions. The creation is affected by eternal time, and it is created and dissolved by external energy. Now we know. This manifestation of the cosmic world repeatedly becomes visible and invisible. In Bhagavad Gita 5, principal subject matters have been discussed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Sanskrit it is Ishvara, okay, Bhagavan. And what else? Material nature. And what else? Okay, the living entities, eternal time, and all kinds of activities. All is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All conceptions of the absolute truth, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma and any other transcendental conception exist within the category of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although superficially, the Supreme Lord, the living entity, material nature, and time appear to be different, nothing is different from the Supreme. But the Supreme is always different from every thing. Adam's family? Okay. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is that of inconceivable oneness and difference. This system of philosophy constitutes perfect knowledge of the absolute truth. Last paragraph. The living entity, in his original position, is pure spirit. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus, Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun, and the living entities to sun shine. Because the living entities are the marginal energy of
Krishna,
they have a tendency to be in contact either with material energy or with the spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord, and because he belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, he has a particle of independence. By proper use of the independence, he comes under the direct order of
Krishna.
Thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of its conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. Thank you very much. You did well. So pretty much everything is here that's really important to understand about the teachings that Krishna gave to the sun god long ago, and then in turn was handed down through the chain of teachers. Who's next? Manu. And after him, Ikshvaku. And it just keeps going. And it's come down to this day. And it's our job to present this information through the chain that Prabhupada has created for us, right? And this little ceremony that's about to begin is to recognize that these three devotees who are with us today, they're going to help in
spreading
Krishna consciousness, right? Because that's what it's all about. We're very much a sharing culture. Sharing and also caring, because it's okay to go ahead, move forward, and let new people know about this great culture. It's always exciting to see someone new coming. It's also exciting to see them growing. But what about those who've been around for a while, you know? Are they important, or are we just about sharing? Well, I would go so far as to say that there's a need to do both, and to continue the love, because we share Krishna consciousness. It's done out of love, you know, because we got something out of it. We got something out of it. We benefited from it, and we want others to have that same benefit. It's like any good joke that you've ever heard. I haven't heard any real good jokes lately, but one of my favorite jokes is, what did the one cannibal say to the other cannibal who showed up late for dinner? Everyone's eaten. So if you like it, you share it, right? So if you like something, naturally you want to give it out to others. And maybe it's kind of criminal-like to hoard, and I'm just going to keep it all to myself, you know? But there's a great kind of like lifting of the weights off the chest when you share something that you really feel good about, you know? I think everybody feels that lightness when you're, you know, some new individual comes along. And Mukhya was talking about something about raising babies or something. What did you say? Are you around? Better than raising babies. I have to tell you, I've done quite a few things in the movement. One area that I really like is the kitchen. Not just for the end product, but for the work that goes behind the product, you know? And there was a phase where we had a lot of Punjabi devotees coming, and they would drop off their bags of dal, and it was ura dal, you know, black on the outside, white on the inside. And it's very high in protein. So I was thinking, what am I going to do with these things? I was quite involved in the kitchen in those days. I said, I know, I'll make babies out of them, you know? So what you do is you wash them, you know, and then you cover them, you put them in a dark place, and they start to get little tails, you know? And then you check on them every day, you know? Every day you go, and they go for a new wash, just like what you're supposed to do with babies, right? Keep them clean. And then it just sprouts more. It gets bigger and bigger, and the tail gets this big. Yahoo! You know, it's wonderful. And then you can throw it into a salad or something. But I have to tell you something. I never really spoke with Srila Prabhupada. I was too shy. And there were all these sort of militant people around him. They're called sannyasis with sticks. And senior people, and the first wave of devotees were there, so I never said anything to him. But when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's how they talk over there, I do declare. And Prabhupada was there, February of 1975. Anybody been there? Anyone was there at that time? Prabhupada came, and the boys from the Radha Damodar party came in. And they weren't controversial yet. And it was an Ekadashi day, and I was asked to, you know, help in the kitchen. And then it was the day after Ekadashi, and the head cook there, he said, devotees were in the japa, doing their japa in the, during that time. So anybody, I need someone to help cook something. I need someone to help cook dal for Prabhupada. And no one answered. But, well, I was with the Canadian traveling party, and I stuck up my hand like this. I guess I could try it out. I never cooked before. And I never cooked dal before. And I never cooked for Prabhupada before. And now it was almost like, oh, is the Prabhupada the guinea pig here? Is he going to... So I cooked the dal. I was too scared to ask him how the dal was. I just went by that old cookbook, the Hare Krishna cookbook, the one that was shaped like this. Yeah, some of you remember. Yes. Opened it up, and the dal was there. So I followed the recipe as best as I could. I was just too scared to ask to find out whether he liked it or not, and I wouldn't know who to ask, which one of the militant people. So, since then I started to cook some dal, and people say I have a real touch with the dal. And I'll tell you my secret, I've never told anybody before. Honestly, this is the first group of people I've told. I might as well, because I'm not in the kitchen much these days. So, the way to make the dal really good, apart from the spices, the hing and the coriander that you have to put in there, and the ginger, is you've got to put some of those little babies in there. I'm talking about the ura dal with the tail. And you got to throw the sprouts in there. That makes it light, makes it exotic. It's great. So everybody likes my dal, and I just think I got Prabhupada's mercy in that. How did we get talking about dal, for God's sake? Anyways, let's get back on track here. We are trying to seek Prabhupada's mercy. We're trying to lighten up. We're trying to do things that that make people indeed very happy. 2023 was a very negative year, in my opinion. It was a very bad year. Already, we're in a major war. It's a world war, because people are all participating. And then Israel and the Palestinians, that war, it's horrible. It's not horrible, it's horrible. And war always is horrible. And it's uncontrolled, unleashed anger, madness, greed, all the things that we're not supposed to be identifying with. But we do identify with it because we've been visited by these characters. So when we look at this scenario of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we're hearing about Duryodhan, we're hearing about Yudhisthira, Krishna, Arjuna there, Bhishma is also mentioned, Karna is mentioned. We love these characters. Duryodhan was a little bit of a rascal, and we tend not to like him very much. I remember in our temple in Toronto, this goes back many years ago, we had an infestation of rats, and there was an alpha rat, and he had like a curved back, and you'd be taking prasad, and he'd walk right in the middle of the floor. We called him Duryodhan. Just really appropriate, just worked, it fit him. We gave him initiation immediately. No fire yajna necessary. Yeah, so the thing is that some people have they question about this historical event. Is it really historical? What's the proof and all that? Okay, that's fine. We don't have to, it's not necessary that you have to believe in it. But what you do have to believe in is that we are a field. The body is a field. It's a battlefield. It's also a city. A city of nine gates. Nava, Dware, Pure, Dehi. The city, and think about it. You're a city and you're a country field. Isn't that something? Wow. You're urban and you're rural at the same time. So, but this is a field of activity, lots of activity, lots of karma going on, lots of actions. And a lot of it, frankly, is quite negative. And the reason why we love the Bhagavad Gita so much is that it helps us to understand that I am not here in this world just to have a cozy experience. I'm here to be a warrior. Now, when we do our sadhana, tell me the truth. When kirtan's on, we have fun. When japa is on, it's a battle. Am I right? It's different. It's the same mantra, but it's a different approach. You've got to be a warrior when you do the japa. Don't think that you're gonna, it's like a bowl of roses. It's not. It's a battle. And we're trying to concentrate. We understand concentration is a very difficult thing to do, especially in the age of Kali. It was about 15 years ago, I was in a Hindu temple, and one guy was saying, you know, the average attention span is about 8 seconds, but I'm sure now it's been reduced thanks to Instagram and all those kind of things. Okay, and everything moves really fast. Everything's the Fast and the Furious. I was walking through Cleveland, and Cleveland has a beautiful downtown. It's really gorgeous, like architecturally, it's a beautiful downtown. And I was walking with a devotee, Abhimanyu Arjun. I haven't seen him for a little while. But we were walking through, and we couldn't go any further because I guess it's a movie or it's a TV series. I don't even know what it is. But they were shooting for the Fast and the Furious in downtown Cleveland. And that's what it's all about. It's all about fast, everything fast, 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 fast. Fast karma, too. So, let's get back to the idea, the notion of a battlefield. You've got to address these demons. You have to admit that there is a Mr. Greed. There's a, can I say Mrs. Lust? And what's the right pronoun for anger? I don't know. It doesn't matter. We've got them all wrapped in one. Great package deal. And, you know, we're meant to address, we're meant to do something about it. Would not be a bad idea to actually level with them and sit on the couch over there with Shisha Prabhu. Shisha, you and I, we can sit with Duryodhan and Ravana and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu in the form of lust and anger and greed, and all these guys say, listen, guys, you've been controlling my life for a long time. The tide has to change now. You've been at it too long. You've been ruling for too long. And I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. So we're doing things differently now. I'm in charge around here, and you guys are going to be the slaves. There you go. Anyways, easier said than done, or to get done. But we do have to enter the Maha Mantra with a fighting spirit, and then there's that beautiful thing called Kirtan, where we could just have a lot of good fun. And you know, Krishna consciousness is about fun. It is that times for joy, times for gravity. And if in the, like Krishna speaks in the Gita chapter 9 about susukam kartum abhyayam, which means that it's joyfully executed. So what does that mean? We should enjoy our spirituality. And there's moments for toning down, and then there's moments for getting a little, going just a slightly crazy, right? And the beautiful thing about reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastimes of the Lord, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his friends, they encouraged funness, you know? I think we mentioned that here before. There are devotees who are fanatics, and then there are those who are fun addicts. Have you ever met a fanatical devotee? They're scary. Have you ever met fundamentalist Islamic people? Scary. Fundamentalist Christians? Scary. Fundamentalist Krishnaites? Scary. Yeah. Extremists. You know? The problem with extremities is that you're surrendering to, you know, Rajagun and Tamagun. And the way to get things right, to come across level-headed and, you know, shoot out those fancy words like maintaining your equilibrium and being balanced, is when you tap into the Sattvagun, taking some time. One way to translate Sattvagun is to be thoughtful. That means before you open your mouth, before you throw your fist, take a deep breath, think about what you're about to do, and you like think twice. Let the booty kick in, and then hopefully you will not proceed with your passions, right? So think carefully about it. So anyways, we're coming to this purport and realizing Prabhupada has just put a lot of stuff in here. He talks about the five truths of Bhagavad Gita. He mentions the 24 elements that make up the universe. He says a lot here. And he's basically giving to us what we need to hear at the end of the Gita. So now, for the initiates, okay, I know you've been at it. You've been fighting, and so have you. But you're making it formal. I'm going to keep fighting, and I'm going to fight harder now, okay? I was raised Catholic, and when you got your first, when you got your confirmation, it's like a sanskar in their tradition. Now you're a soldier of Christ. And the bishop, the archbishop would come and do the ceremony. Can you come closer? And he'd go like this. Okay, and that meant he's, you know, they're kicking the devil out of you. It's symbolic, you know. All right. So I think that spirit, the Kshatriya spirit, has to always be there, and also the loving spirit, you know, that has to also be applied. And so it's we're looking at the last shloka from Bhagavad Gita, number 700. And so it's kind of like the end of the book. And you know what you do? at the end of the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, you just flip the pages and just start all over again. And then you go at it, oh my God, I never read this before. Isn't it like that? Yeah. It indicates that it's deep and it's rich. This is probably the most, popular conversation between two people in the whole wide world. Am I right about that? Definitely in Eastern thought, now in the West, with us getting, people in the West getting more and more acquainted with Eastern thought, they're getting familiar with the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. And, one thing I want to say is that one of my favorite places walking across America was in Utah. That's my favorite state of all. And I did many, 14, going across on Highway 80 and trying to stay on it. Sometimes it turns into a 4-lane, 6-lane, whatever, and you better get the hell off the road. Yeah. So in Utah, I was invited to a radio show, and it was the International Sunglasses Day, so everybody had to wear sunglasses. And I went to the studio, and they interviewed me, and it was a good one. You know, they, between several songs, my interview went on, so it was really good. And then the next day I went to another, a place called Vernal, Utah. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Okay, whatever. So I went to another studio and I met Jennifer. She was the anchor person. And I said, Jennifer, what kind of music do you play here? And she said, well, we play pop music, you know. And just prior to that, we were discussing a little bit more. I showed them the Bhagavad Gita, and I said, have you read this before? And Jennifer said, yes, I have that book. I think I have that book. I said, have you read it? No, but now that I've met you, I will. Okay? So that's good. So we got into talking, and her music is playing in the background. And then she said, I asked her about what kind of music they play, because the genre of music in yesterday's studio was country western, right? So I asked her, so this is pop music. I said, pop. And I thought, pop, yeah. Pop in Sanskrit means sin. Sin, yeah. And then she said, oh, okay. Oh, Swami, put in your headphones. We're on the air. Okay, so we have somebody very special here today. He's known as the Walking Monk. And his name is, let me see if I can say it, Bhakti Marga Swami. I said, perfect, Jennifer, that was great. And that's in the Sanskrit language. Now, the Swami and I had a little conversation, and we were talking about the genre of music that we play, and I told him it's pop music. And the Swami said it means sin in, what's the language? Sanskrit. And anyways, that's why we have the Swami here today, to deal with our sins. Well, I just put the little insert in there because we talked about the Bhagavad Gita. And indeed, you know, we're here to take these steps, you know, with initiation, first, second, maybe third. Who knows? Coming down the pipeline. And I'm not wishing anything. There's very few of those guys with the saffron and the sticks, the militant guys, remember? Not too many of them. But we're here to see that, our sins will be lessened and our virtues will be expanded upon, that we'll get better and better and better. The nice thing about getting old, because I do see a lot of a range here, and those who are at the end of the range, meaning the beginning, soon. How soon, I don't know. If you understand what I'm saying. The good thing about aging is that the lust factor calms down, the anger comes down, the greed, I got everything, I don't need anymore, I'm going to start giving it away. You know, that's the beautiful thing about getting old. So look forward to getting old. That's my lesson. And the last thing I'll say, when I first met the devotees, they came to my apartment. I invited them to stay over. And that was back in 72 at Christmas time. And they showed me a picture of Prabhupada, and they told me, we can't wait till we get to be that old. And I looked at Prabhupada, and he's got wrinkles and hair is coming out of the ears, and you know, but there was a big smile, wrinkles and everything. And I just couldn't understand. Can you clarify what you're saying here? And so they came up with a good answer. They said, we can't wait to get to that very mature age because we seek to become advanced, okay? And not just advanced in years, but advanced in understanding and handling the world, right? So it was the first time that I heard anybody say anything good about old age. And I'm keeping that. So for those devotees who are in that category, you have to look at the color of their hair and how many crow's feet there. They are precious. They are really special. So take care of them. So getting back to my original point, we like to share, and we must also care, you know, and care not just for the younglings that come around, but also the other ones who are becoming children again by size and also by in terms of the need of help, Hare Krishna, physical and other levels too. Jai. So I'm just going to end it on that note. I'm not sure what else we're supposed to do. Is it a Q&A? Are we supposed to jump outside? Or I have no idea. I don't know, like my Hindu friends, what to do. What to do? So I'm just seeking guidance from people. Okay. And that's it. But we have a finger up there. Yes, that's right.
Any quality that the jiva has is because of Krishna. There's nothing the jiva can have that Krishna can't have. So why can't Krishna also be between material and spiritual energy? And the jiva
Krishna is between the material and spiritual energies. Yes, he's in between. He's inside, he's outside, and he's in between. He's everywhere.
And you also said the Bhagavad Gita is the most confidential knowledge.
Yes.
Why are we trying to preach it so much and tell everybody? Is it confidential?
Because we like to tell a good secret. We don't hold back. You know, I mean, let's put it this way. Everyone understands the hidden truth. It's already in you, you know. And a devotee comes along, just scratches the surface a little bit, and you know, for the soul of the living entity, and understands, oh yes, this is, I'm hitting the truth now. I'm nailing it down. So I think that's what we're just trying to do, scratch, you know, scratch and remove some of the dirt.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth canto, the 18th chapter, on verse 30, he said, in the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the father of the living entities of the universe, saw that all living entities were unattached. To increase population, he then created woman from the better half of man's body, for woman's behavior carries away a man's mind. And that jumped out to the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, and you know, Adam. What a connection is there.
Okay, yeah, you'll see lots of parallels. Yeah, that's what... gives a lot of people jump for joy, and the fact that there's all these spiritual truths that come out from different parts of the world, they probably have one source, and they have a lot of, let's say, they share a lot of, like, it's parallel. I don't think it's real major distinctions. What human beings do, they want to say, you're of that religion, and you're of that truth here. Everyone's got a truth, but we can't get along with each other. Why not? So, anyways, there's a lot of other parallels we can take to, you know, we can share between Christianity and the Vedic teachings, and whether it be Islam or anything, there's a lot of things that are similar, but people want to look at the differences.
So as Vaishnavas, do we accept the story of Genesis, the Garden of Eden?
Yeah, you can take the essence of it. There's truth in the essence. Yeah. Even far-out stories that we hear about, some like the Ark, there's a lot of interesting stories, but just capture the essence, and then there's no problem.
You know, so in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, the first chapter...
We're going through all of Prabhupada's books.
In verse 15, the last sentence of the purport, the perfection of such a service attitude is only attained simply by transferring the desire of service from matter to spirit, or from Satan to God. And that's one of the few verses I ever heard Prabhupada mention the word Satan.
Yes.
I thought that's pretty interesting, of associating Satan with materialism, with matter.
Yes, yes. Prabhupada was versatile, and that's beautiful about his writings. He would pick and choose words that came to him and to help clarify things for people coming from different backgrounds. His first takers, he was trained by Christians, right? When he came to the West, he met a lot of devotees who were Jewish or Christian. There were no Muslims at that time. There were hardly any Buddhists at that time. Although a lot of devotees were dabbling with Buddhism, looking at books. But he understood this is the kind of lingo that people have heard, his disciples have heard. So he used that to try to pull them in. Right? Thank you. We can talk more later if you like. I think we should go now. Oh, I see. Okay. Sure, we can do it now. Yeah. If that's what everybody wants.
Sure.
What do you want? Do you want to hear the name now or later?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know what you're going to have to do. You can go over there and then come here, and then everything will be revealed. Okay, and in the meantime, everyone will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How are you doing? I think you said Charles. So if you could please tell us at this point, what are the four regulative principles that you will adhere to?
I vow never to eat meat, not gamble, no intoxication, and no illicit sex, and chant minimum 16 rounds on my japa mala beads.
Wow. Okay, that's good. Can I just add one? If you don't mind. Sadly, just don't gossip. Don't gossip. Is that okay?
Yes.
Don't gossip.
Yes.
It's evil. It's bad. It's worse than Duryodhan, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Kamsa, all wrapped together. Yes. Okay, so are you a mother? We just have the time. Okay, the mala. Okay, all right. Hare Krishna. Station break. Hare Krishna. Another chance. So, in the meantime, any other questions or comments? Feedback? No. Enough. No, we appreciate you coming forward. That's good. Okay, so, Charles, your name starts with a C and an H and an A, so it's kind of obvious. Chaitanya Charana. And you're very lucky to have a nice community that will always be there for you. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes, you'll always be there. I know Prana Govinda Prabhu, and I know Medya and other devotees have been instrumental in, you know, in helping you in your spiritual life, and may that continue from here on until the gates.
His grace has been instrumental in my learning.
For sure.
Chaitanya Charan Prabhu ki.
Take care. I'm sure you've been speculating on it, right? And everyone tells you, your name will probably be blah, blah, blah. It's always like that. So what's next on the agenda? Okay, we can go there. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Okay, we love this community dearly. Thank you. We'll be hanging around for a few days. And if I can be at your service, just let me know. Okay? Hare Krishna. So, lunch.